Just to locate ourselves, we're still in the middle of Christmas. Many of you are aware that in our tradition, we celebrate 12 days of Christmas. The Christmas continues until Epiphany, which is, you know, we will celebrate next Sunday. And so we are still in the middle of Christmas. And one of the reasons why the church tradition does that is because of how significant and important the incarnation is. So Christmas is the feast of the incarnation, and it is the incarnation that is the focus, right? And so that's why we have this text from the beginning of the book of John. It's the prologue to the book of John. I asked a friend to read it with me earlier this week, he found it very baffling. What exactly does this mean? What exactly is going on here? So I'm going to try to sit with this text a little bit to unpack it, because it actually is a foundational text for the whole Christian notion about what the incarnation is, right? And that, in many ways, is what distinguishes us from Jews or from Muslims, is that we actually have this view that somehow, some way, God inhabits and indwells a human form in order to bless us. Athanasius, one of the early church fathers, said, "The Son of God became human so that humans could become like God." That's the point of the incarnation. God became human so that humans could become like God. So John begins his text, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Right? So that's what I want to unpack. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning. John, where, if you're paying attention and been paying attention, those words, those opening words, echo, right? I mean, there's a resonance, there's a meaning, there's an allusion there to Genesis, where in the beginning, when God began creating the heavens and the earth, God said, "Let there be," and bang, boom, there was. And God said, "Let there be light." That's how this whole story begins. God speaks. In the beginning, God says, "Let there be," and boom, there's light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't overcome it. That's how this all begins in the Jewish story, and then in the Christian story. That's Genesis 1 right there. And so God speaks, right? This notion that God somehow gives voice, gives utterance, gives speech, has thought, is in that moment, and that what God does with God's speech is to create, to give life, to bring light. And what's curious is that as God is doing that in Genesis, in the beginning of Genesis, God says, "Let there be, and it is good. Let there be creepy, crawly things on the earth, and it is good. Let there be stars in the sky and planets and suns, and it is good." And God creates humans in God's image, and it is good. And then what happens in the next story in Genesis 2 is that after God creates Adam, and he starts bringing all the animals to him, Adam speaks. And Adam gives name to the creatures, to all the creatures. Like, God brings to him a giraffe, and the word just falls out of his mouth, giraffe, right? Whatever. He brings an antelope, and he's astonished, and he says, "Antelope." And he brings a bear, and he's astonished, and he says, "Bear." And so this human who is created in God's image also speaks. And so there's this connection that God speaks being into existence and gives life and light, and then humans created in God's image also speak. John is referencing all of that in this prologue. So when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos," he's talking about that moment when God speaks and gives voice and creates and gives life. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. So there's this notion that somehow the Word is in relationship to God. The Word was with God. And so it gives rise to this notion that maybe there's a distinction between the Word and God. But then in the very next phrase, John says, and the Word was God. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Which I won't get into here, but that gives rise to what becomes Trinitarian theology in the church. This weird notion that somehow, some way, there's different personhood, there's different persons in the Godhead, which is only one God, but yet, whatever. So John is saying, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this speaking, this act of God speaking, God's intention somehow becomes flesh and dwells among us. And the verses that precede it say that, and he came into his own, and his own did not receive him. There's a sense that whatever it is that God is up to in this whole movement, humans don't get it. Humans don't see it. Humans don't understand it. They have eyes to see. They have eyes, but they don't have eyes that see. They have ears, but they don't have ears that hear. And that's just part of the condition and the state of things, it seems. And John is referencing that. The Word comes and is incarnate and comes into his own. The Word becomes flesh, and those humans didn't get it, and yet to those who received him, he gave the power to become children of God. Which is a curious phrase. He gave power to become children of God. This is where Athanasius comes up with that idea that he became human so that humans could become like the divine, that they could become children of God. What could that possibly mean? It's not that humans somehow develop superpowers and become like Marvel, superheroes. It's not that humans somehow become omnipotent and omniscient and all-powerful. It's not that humans become like gods in that sense. That's our expectation and our projection onto what the divine is like. It's that humans can start beginning developing the characteristics of God. Because what is God like? God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and full of steadfast love. Right? To become like God is to become more loving. To become like God is to become more compassionate, to become more kind, to love justice, a sense of fairness and a restoration when there's been an imbalance. It's to have compassion for those who are oppressed and hurting and hungry and naked. That's what it means to become like God. Because that's what God is like in the Christian understanding of things. Right? So the incarnation is important in Christian theology. I mean, and especially in Greek Orthodox theology, this is where our salvation begins. It's not on the cross. It's actually in this moment where God inhabits human form and takes on human being so that we can be transformed and renewed and become more like the humans that God creates us to be. To be loving, compassionate, and kind. That's the significance in Christian thought about the incarnation and why the incarnation matters. That's why we're still celebrating Christmas today. I, in my own spiritual journey, am still grappling with and wrestling with what that means. So I don't expect that we're going to resolve that today. in any way, shape, or form, or fully grasp it in any way, shape, or form, but I offer it as a suggestion for the way forward. Amen.